So let's start with the history and development of NITAC GWACS. Tell us, this goes back quite a number of years now. We're at version 3, but tell us how version 1 got started.
Okay, or version 0. Okay, essentially, a program official back in the mid-90s sort of looked across the NIH landscape and recognized, subsequent to implementation of Klinger-Cohen, recognized the need for an indefinite delivery contract vehicle in order to serve the needs of the program and scientific staff in NIH. So the notion was looking at the needs as it related to IT services, as it related to IT products, and providing a vehicle to address those needs. So with that, the first vehicle, an IDIQ, designed as enterprise-only contract, was born.
Okay, so Klinger-Cohen Act, the CIO Act, if you will, helped give rise to this in the first place?
Yes. Now, a word of the value and effectiveness of the program spread rather rapidly. HHS then became a very large user, other agencies as well. So we sort
of expanded. So the parent of NIH, in other words.
Yes, expanded as a multi-agency vehicle, if you will. It wasn't until September 2000, year 2000, that we actually received NIH designation from the Office of Management and Budget to serve as an executive agent and to stand up and administer our government-wide vehicles.
So originally it was just for NIH, for their IT needs, and then HHS, the parent agency, took a look and said, we like this one too, and then it sounded like it just caught on after that.
That's correct.
And so what was all IT? What about Klinger-Cohen was it that changed? That was a big major piece of overhaul back in the mid-90s of how the government would do business with IT, designated all agencies to have a CIO. How did that give rise to the need for this particular contract?
Well, the program official is actually associated with our Center for Information Technology at the time. And based on that aerial view, had a clear sense that there was a need to sort of lasso up all of our requirements and try to advance a more efficient way of buying. That and also the expectation that federal agencies now could perhaps position themselves as GWACS stewards and stand up and administer contracts for not just their use but federal-wide use as well.
So this idea of getting OMB designation to go government-wide, we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes, but that's nothing new to this current administration, even though they've been emphasizing it.
That is correct.
It goes way back. Okay. Well, let's talk about CIO SP3. Now, that's the latest version. You just awarded those, or your staff did. How does that differ from 2 and 1?
Well, the nature of the offerings is very much the same. We have 10 task areas. However, emphasis has shifted quite a bit because we have a predominant focus in information technology supporting biomedical research, health sciences, and health IT. So we sort of lead with that as our number one task area, but we also provide support, as we have in the past, imaging, outsourcing, IT operations and maintenance, enterprise management systems, anything that one could desire in terms of IT support solutions to serve their critical mission needs, they can obtain it under the CIO SP3 effort.
So when you say that it emphasizes health IT as one of the task areas, that's a growth area for the federal government and really for, I guess, the nation at large, something that probably wasn't as big a deal maybe 10, 15 years ago as it is now.
That's correct.
So that involves, would that include electronic health records and the development of those kinds of
Absolutely.
Things, too?
Any and all of the agencies that have a hand in advancing the mission as it relates to health care could find that they can obtain what's needed under this particular vehicle.
Now, these vehicles last a number of years. I guess they're about roughly 10 years, and then they overlap maybe a little bit till everything gets established. How does NITAC and how do the contractors keep everything relevant for the agency acquiring these services over the life of the contracts?
Now, Tom, that's a secret, but I'm going to share it with you. I could summarize that by saying the three C's, three things. It's the contract, how that's structured, the customer service that NITAC staff provides, and also the contractors. And so when we talk about the contract, we design these mechanisms so they're flexible enough in terms of the statement of work to allow for expansion, evolution, in order to satisfy evolving needs. As two examples, if we look at our service vehicle, we've got a whole slew of labor categories relevant to today's world in terms of technology. However, we provide or provision for, in terms of contract language, the ability for NITAC to add additional labor categories as deemed appropriate, and also at the task order level, our customers can add relevant categories that may not be associated with the prime vehicle at this point in time. So as time marches on, technological advances emerge, then contract provides the flexibility to add additional labor categories. If we flip to the product side, then we also have an ability for contractors to refresh contract line items, again, to meet technological advances. That happens very frequently on a daily basis, and NITAC staff is able to respond with the addition, review, approval, and addition of contract line items within a matter of hours. So that's our contract piece. Our customer service piece, we're talking about the NITAC employees, contract specialists, contracting officers, IT specialists, individuals with program management experience. These individuals take very seriously the mission around customer support and satisfaction. Their response is rapid, it's efficient, it's effective. I think it keeps customers coming back and ensures that we remain relevant. And then thirdly, the actual contractors on our GWAC vehicles. We have the best of the best. With the recent awards that we've made, you're probably aware of the fact that we've spent about a year combing through proposals to make sure that we, at the end of the day, we're able to stand up awards with the vendors who are relevant, who will remain engaged in our program to the extent that they are able to provide a variety of different solutions to the federal agencies.
We're speaking with Mary Armstead. She's NITAC's program director, director for the big GWACs that they offer, CIOSP3 being the most recent one. And some procurement policies have affected GWACs that have changed recently, again, per our theme of how government acquisition is changing. They concern sole source on follow-on contracts and set-asides at task orders. Tell us what those changes are and how they're affecting some of the GWACs, such as the ones you operate.
Okay. We've seen a lot from this administration in the last several years, but a couple of things that really hit home as it relates to NITAC's GWAC program. One, interim rule that was released in May of 2011, all about improving competition at the task order level. As you're aware, the Federal Acquisition Regulation 16.5 in particular requires that all offerors have a fair opportunity to respond to any order, task or delivery order, under a indefinite delivery vehicle that has relevance to us. Apparently, from OFPP's point of view, there was an increase in the number type of sole source endeavors on the task order level, follow-ons and what have you. So in order to sort of pull back and control this a little bit, there was a rule implemented, again, last spring that requires, depending on the threshold, justifications in order to define and explain the need for sole source. So if the requirement is at $650,000, the justification perhaps is not that painful, can be signed by the contracting official. When we get over that level and up to 12.5 million, you're talking about the engagement of the competition advocate in terms of obtaining their signature. Above that threshold, then the senior procurement official. Those justifications, by the way, are required to be posted in FedBizOps. So the point here is that task order, deliver order contracting, notionally is supposed to be a streamlined process. When you encumber that process with a justification process that looks like FAR Part 6, justifications for other than full and open competition, it becomes a slightly different animal. But I think the administration has been effective in making its point that we need to look very hard, very closely at non-competitive activity. Make sure everyone has a fair opportunity.
Mary Armstead is NITAC's program director. We're speaking with her as part of our week-long special report, Inside the World's Biggest Buyer. We're going to go to a short commercial break, but then we're going to return with Mary Armstead to talk a little bit more about the changing face of acquisition. And we'll be right back after that. It's 7:19. And this is The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Good morning, 7:23. Welcome back to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is the first day of a week-long look at federal acquisition in our World's Biggest Buyer series. And we're speaking with Mary Armstead, the Program Director of the NIH Information Technology Acquisition and Assessment Center, or NITAC. And just before the break, we had talked about how NITAC has revamped one of its signature GWACs, and CIOSP3. Now I'd like to focus on that issue of the business case that you mentioned earlier. And recently the OMB reiterated the need for GWAC operators or would-be GWAC operators to build business cases that pass muster with OMB. How has that changed and how do you build that business case?
Well, if we look at OFPP memo dated September 29, 2011, we'll see that it's not just GWACs. GWACs have always, the GWAC stewards had a requirement to develop comprehensive business cases and to send them forward for OMB approval. What's happening here, the OFPP focus and the administration's focus of the last couple of years on the need for the government to better leverage, okay, to save its dollars in acquisition process and also, obviously, the taxpayer dollars. So anyone who's considering standing up an enterprise-wide multi-agency or GWAC, of course, would be required to develop a business case, okay, an abbreviated version of the version that we send to OFPP. To have that business case reviewed and approved by the agency senior procurement official, also concurrence of the director of the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization for the agency has to be involved. And if the requirement involves IT, the agency's chief information officer. Once we've gotten those approvals, then the requirement or business case is posted in OMB's at OMB's MAX site for 15 days. And the agency is to consider the comments that are received in determining whether or not it's going to proceed. Now, the whole idea here is OFPP's emphasis on targeting overlapping and duplicative contracts. The notion is they want agencies to consider the suitability of existing contracts before moving forward with their own.
So it's a cost-saving measure, basically, and sets the bar pretty high. And I also wanted to ask you, too, about the next round of CIOSP. You dubbed it new, is kind of working. And in the minute we have left, tell us what's next for NITAC as you replace the other GWAC called ECS.
Right. ECS-3 will be coming to its expiration date in November of this year. In February, early February, we actually posted in FedBizOps a notice seeking a vendor input collaboration on a conceptual framework for our next-generation products vehicle. It is the framework designed to be very much different from the existing vehicle we have. There'll be an increased emphasis on shared services and the notion of consolidated purchasing. And so if we look at broad areas that we've sort of scoped out in this framework, health and biotechnical research, IT, of course, that's sort of our hook at NIH, commodity shared services, commodity IT, telecommunications support, and security IT.
So a lot coming yet from NIH, and we should keep an eye on that because it really reflects what the acquisition is changing to reflect what it is the government is buying in the years ahead.
Absolutely.